Okay, we're going to do our theme song again, Traveling Light. How's that sound? Have a seat. Well, I want to just thank you for being here at this session. We really prayed about what to do with this afternoon for months, and just I wasn't feeling led in one direction, and I wasn't going to have anything. But then I met with a sister from our church, Holly Nelson, and we were just sharing. She was sharing with me just a wonderful work that the Lord has done in her life. And it so fit with our theme and with the verse and for what I really felt like the Lord wanted to accomplish here. And so as she was sharing, the Holy Spirit was just tugging on my heart. And it's like, this is it. It's supposed to be Holly. So Holly really just is stepping out in faith. She's never done this before. She has a very personal story for you. We're excited. We're excited at what the Lord has and what he wants to say to us. And so we're blessed to have Holly. Holly's, and she's married to, her husband is Mike, and they have daughter Lindsay. And Lindsay, for those of you that go to Calvary Vista, is Trevor O'Keefe's wife, the junior high youth pastor. So with that, Holly, why don't you come on up? So.
Have to get myself situated here because I am totally out of my comfort zone. But God is very faithful, and I know that he's going to totally see me through this. Since I've been here this weekend, in the last 24 hours, I've heard the word transparent 5 times. So I feel like the Lord wants me to be transparent. So that's what I'm going to do, and I have lots of Kleenex. And I have been coming to Calvary Chapel Vista for 11 years, and I have never given my testimony. I've been involved in women's ministry. I have done some service, And I've done a very good job of hiding from all of you. And I heard a pastor say once when I was listening to K-Wave on my way to work, that when you don't share who you are, you rob the body of Christ. And that has always stuck with me. So I'm going to share who I am, and I pray that my story encourages you and blesses you. And I hope to get through it without whimpering and crying the whole time. First of all, I really need to pray, so if you guys would pray with me. Lord, my testimony belongs to you, for your glory. I pray you would speak to our hearts. I pray you would heal hearts that need to be healed. I pray you would set captives free, and that your will would be accomplished, Lord. And I pray this in your precious son's name. Amen. I just want to tell you a little bit about my past, and I have been a very slow learner. I sat in church for 6 years before I got saved, and then I sat in church another 9 years in total, absolute unbelief and defeat. And it all stems from my belief that I couldn't be used and I couldn't be forgiven for my past. And I've heard it said, even since we've been here, that we're prone to believe the lie. And that's exactly what I did for a really long time. When I was a little girl, I had a desire for God, and I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and so I had a girlfriend, and I started going to church with her, although it wasn't Christian. I didn't know that. I just knew God was calling my heart at a really early age, and my parents weren't religious, and they were trying to protect me, so they forbid me to hang out with this friend of mine. So rather than filling that void with something else, what I did was I thought, okay, well, I must be going the wrong way. So I turned and went completely the other direction. And by the time I was 15 years old, I had run away from home, and I pretty much lived on the streets for about 6 months. And during that time, I got pregnant, and I remember I needed to go home because I was hungry. Sorry. I was physically hungry, and I couldn't go home pregnant. So our social services were very willing to help me get an abortion. So I got on a bus by myself and went to San Francisco and had an abortion. They put me back on a bus by myself. I went back to where I was staying and then eventually went home. At that point in my life, I went into survival mode. And anyone who has ever been on the streets, you realize you go into survival mode. It's just about staying alive. I did go home, but I was changed forever. I couldn't understand why I didn't feel anything from having this abortion. I didn't feel anything. I thought something was wrong with me. And so I proceeded to get very heavily involved in drugs. And I became very promiscuous, which I realize now are very common for women who have had abortions. My drug addiction got pretty bad to the point where I couldn't support my habit. And the only thing I knew to do was to use my body to get the drugs I needed. So what I did was I traded sex for drugs. And the shame that I felt from that, those two things were enough for a lifetime, but it doesn't end there. I proceeded to marry a drug addict, and I got pregnant again. And I didn't have abortion this time, but I used drugs throughout my entire pregnancy, and I delivered my baby high on drugs. And by the grace of God, she's a beautiful young woman, and a lot of you know her. And this is why I never felt I could be forgiven. So I hid, and I believed that lie that I was useless. I got saved in 1998, but I felt like I had crossed a line. I felt like I was second class. I put on a pretty good show. You didn't know how I really felt inside. And I started thinking about it, and I thought, I can't be the only one. I cannot be the only woman sitting in church who feels this way and is being held in bondage and captivity. So I purposed and determined in my heart that I didn't want to live my Christianity through you. I wanted to know God myself. So I got on my face and I started praying. And I can remember it was one Sunday. It was a particular Sunday, and our church has wonderful Bible studies and wonderful teaching, and I love Pastor Rob and everyone that comes and teaches there. I was just not at a place where I could accept it. But once I started praying, a gentleman happened to come to our church visiting, and you guys might even remember it. He said that he had started meeting with a group, and they read the Bible every day, and then they would meet, and they would discuss it. And so I took him for his word, and I thought, I'm going to try that. So I started seeking God, and I started reading my Bible every day. And I not only read my Bible, but I wrote something down when I read my Bible. And the Lord gave me a scripture at that time, and it was Job 19:26-27, and it says, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do that. I want to see you, Lord. And I wanted him so bad that I was willing to do whatever needed to be done to see him, and to have him work in my life like he was working in your life. So, the word says, if you seek him, you will find him. And so I started seeking him, and he started opening doors for me. I decided that I wanted to be a personal disciple of Jesus Christ. I did not want to be a stand in the shadows disciple anymore. And the Bible is filled with stories of disciples. They're called disciples too, that stood afar off. And I did not want to be one of those disciples. I wanted to be a hands-on, touching Jesus at his feet disciple. So in my devotion time, he started speaking to my heart. And things started coming into my heart that were like, what are you talking about? I don't want to go to Russia. It's cold there. I hate to fly. And I don't have any money anyway. And he just kept on and kept on and kept on. And so I went to Russia. Then the Lord started putting women in my life that could mentor me and teach me what it was to be a personal disciple. And the Lord has really given me three women in the Bible that are my heroes that I want to share with you a little bit about how they've touched my life. And I love how God doesn't name all of the disciples in the Bible. There's no-namers, and there's a lot of women that are no-namers, and I love that because that's what I am. I'm a no-namer. I don't feel that I have a name, but he uses them anyway. So I just really, really prayed about this, and I really feel the Lord wants me to share with you these women and how they've touched my life and how I want what they have. I wanted to be those women. And the first one is, I call her the extravagant love woman. And she's in Luke 7. And a little story, when I got saved, although I was a Christian in unbelief for all those years, when I got saved, and I love God, and I love how into detail he is. The scripture that I was given when I got saved was in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And I just think it's so ironic that God has me giving my testimony at this retreat. He's got a sense of humor. But this woman, as I was reading in my devotion time, the woman in Luke 7, commentators record that she came to Jesus right after he gave that invitation. And I wanted to be this woman. And just for time's sake, I'm not going to go through, read a bunch of the scripture, but you can look her up. She, after he gave that invitation, Pharisees were having Jesus over for dinner. And it says, the scripture says that she was a woman who led a sinful life. And she came to Jesus and she touched him. She came to him. She touched him. She fell at his feet weeping. And she cried. I mean, visualize this picture. She cried and she cried and she washed his feet with her hair. And she poured perfume on his feet. And the Lord, I wanted to be that woman. And God gave me the opportunity a couple of months ago. I went with a team to Israel, and we had a conference, and it was actually the first time that I had ever given my testimony, my full testimony, in front of anyone, and it was a room filled with prostitutes. And after the conference was over, we had the opportunity to do a little bit of touring, and I left all that stuff there. I left it there. Once you confess your sin, it just, the power is gone. And confession is so important. When a secret is hidden, it has its power over you. But when you share it, it's gone. It just, poof, it's gone. So we were in Israel, and we were doing some touring, and we were in Jerusalem. And we were down, if you've ever been to Israel in Jerusalem, Via Dolorosa, the road, is underground, and it's part of the real road that Jesus would have walked down, that he shed his blood for us. And I was there, and I just got on my face. And I was that woman. I wanted what she had, and I worshiped him there. And I believe he wants us to worship him and cry at his feet, or he wouldn't have given the picture of this woman in the Bible. So she really ministered to my heart. And the second woman that really ministered to my heart, and this one I have to read part of it because it's so powerful, is I call her the testimony woman, but she's actually the woman in, with the issue of blood in Luke 8. And the story goes, if you don't know the story, that she had been bleeding for 12 years and no doctors could fix her, heal her. And she was desperate. She was suffering and she was desperate. No matter what your suffering is, you can get pretty desperate with it. And it said that this woman went and touched Jesus. And it says in 8:47, and I'm reading out of the NIV, then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed. I love that. Don't you see when somebody touches Jesus, they can't go unnoticed? It's all over them. Came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she touched him and how she had instantly been healed. And I want to be this woman. I want to touch Jesus. I'm trembling right now, and I've been on my face all day. And he asks us to tell in the presence of people our testimonies. She told why she touched him and then what he did. Her testimony became his, and I wonder how many people that were there watching this situation got saved and wanted to touch him too for whatever was ailing them. I love this woman. And the last woman is in John 4, and it's the woman at the well. And again, it's about a testimony. This time, Jesus went to her, and he gave her living water. He gave her the word of God. And the thing that I love about all these three women is they all have to do with women issues, sexual sin, although the woman with the issue of blood, I mean, that's just a woman issue. And I love that. I love that God put these women in the Bible for us to glean from, to learn from, and to be like. They're our example. So I tried following their example. And the woman in John 4, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's really long, but she, when he told her what she had done, she went to town and she said, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did." And they came. They came out to see Jesus. And I just want to read one part of that scripture, and it's in 4:39, and it says, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because of what you said. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.'" It started with her testimony. She brought them to Jesus, and then they saw Jesus for themselves. And I believe that the Lord wants to use all of us to stir each other up, to tell our testimonies to each other, to encourage. Because you know what? I sat there for 9 years thinking I was the only one. And I find out now that I'm not the only one, and how the enemy has used that against me. But now I want it to be for God's glory. And just in closing, I just want to share with you some things that practically have helped me to be a personal disciple of Jesus. And one of the things is just to be in the Word every day. Every day, I had to purpose in my heart that I was going to make a commitment to do that. And that's when things changed. And I made an appointment with God. My appointment's at 5 o'clock every morning, because that's the only time I have. And it was really hard at first, but you know, now I don't even need an alarm clock. I can't wait to get in there and be with God. And I am a huge fan, for my devotional time, I am a huge fan of the one-year Bible, because it's the entire counsel of God every day. And I don't have to think about what I'm going to read. I don't have to pick something. And that might not work for everybody, but for me, it works really well. And I don't sit down in my devotion time and read my Bible without writing something down. And it's funny because I was sharing in the room before I came here, I was looking back, I brought one of my journals with me, and I was looking back through it, and I'll put the date, and I'll put what scripture it is. And this one day, all it said was, I am very distracted today. I wrote nothing, but I did write something. I was very distracted and I couldn't think, but I'm always prepared to meet with God. And he always, except for that one day I was distracted, but I was distracted. It wasn't that he wasn't there to speak to me. That's huge, is to be in the Word every day. And I heard Janie say that earlier today, to be in the Word every day. The other thing that I have found that has been life-changing and is so needed is prayer. To pray, pray, pray. And I haven't always been real good at that. And so the Lord was so gracious to bring me a mentor, a lady who doesn't even live around me, but she's a prayer partner for me. And we have an appointment again every day, 5 days a week at least, on our lunch hour. We pray. What's God showing you today? And we just share and we just try to stir each other up. And I realize that, I mean, I could be up here and I could be sharing with you all, but without prayer, it's not going to do a bit of good. And fellowship is so important to be able to glean off of each other and just share what the Lord's doing, and to hold each other accountable, and it's for growth. I mean, Jesus put all these things in here for a reason. And the last thing I want to talk about is something that I never ever thought I could do, and I don't want to sound prideful, but the reason I did this is because God's word says to hide his word in your heart. And I heard a woman, I was at a Bible study, and I heard this woman recite an entire chapter of scripture. And I wanted that so bad. I can't tell you. I wanted it bad. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm gonna do that. I'm going to try to do that. And so I did. And what it's done and how his word is hidden in my heart, I don't have to open my Bible when I want to go to that chapter. It's already right here. And I just have just a scripture that I want to read, and then I'll be done. And it's Deuteronomy 11:18-20, and it says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." And I think that the Lord wants us to live his word. And I just pray that if there's anybody here that's in bondage or hidden, or if there's something that you know that's keeping you from everything God has for you. We are supposed to live from victory to victory, not in defeat. And I can say that I am living proof that there's people in church living in defeat. And I can also say I'm living proof that God is very patient, and he will, if you seek him, you will find him. So I think with that, I'm done. But you know what? I have some business to do. And it's time. Deuteronomy 11:18 through 20. I'm going to go drop this in the box, if you guys will excuse me.
Holly really is, I believe, just someone who represents many, many women in the church as a whole that feel like they're, you know, a disciple, but they're at a distance, afar off, for many different reasons. And so what I want to do, we're going to spend the next 10, 15 minutes and just pray this through. And maybe, as Holly was sharing, there was one of those women that you identify with. And so, as she said at the beginning about transparency, this is our moment to be transparent. And it is so true that when you confess your sin, when you finally say it, the freedom that comes in that, and the power then that you have to overcome that. And so, we just want to give time for that. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go back through these women, and if you identify with this woman and you want prayer, you're going to just stand to your feet as a symbol of confession, and those around you, just lay hands on that woman and just pray for her. We're not going to share what it is. We're just going to pray for one another, and okay. So I think we should start with the woman at the well. And like Holly said, she had issues. She had past issues and probably a lot of condemnation and shame. But the awesome part about it was that Jesus knew her past. There was nothing hidden from him. And there's nothing hidden in our lives from the Lord. And, you know, it's true. You can sit in church. You can be a believer for many, many years and walk in condemnation and shame. And I mean, I was blown away when Holly was sharing with me. I mean, she was serving. You looked at her. She just, you know, you just would have never known that inner struggle that was going on in her life. And it just blew me away. But it's the reality, and I think many can identify with that. So if that is you, you are just struggling with past, some shame in that I just have so many issues. God cannot really use me the way I want to be used. And that's you. Just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet right now. Be transparent. If that is your struggle, you look at other women and go, well, God has a plan for them. God can use them, but he can't use me. Not that way. And that's you. Okay, gals, just stand up around them, lay hands on them, and let's pray. Maybe for some of you, you're the woman that was suffering for years, some kind of infirmity physically, emotionally, and you're desperate. You're like that woman. You're desperate. You want a touch from Jesus, and you need to touch Jesus. And you're tired. You feel like you can't go on. There's women here that are suffering incredibly with chronic pain and illness, and you want to reach out and touch Jesus, and maybe he's going to heal some of you even as you stand up and confess that right now. So if that's you, you're the desperate woman that needs a touch from Jesus, you're suffering in some way, Stand to your feet. There's many of you. Just stand up. Ladies, let's pray for them. Lastly is the woman that I love how Holly called her the extravagant lover. And there's a verse in the scripture that says, those that have been forgiven much, love much. And I would hope that all of our hearts would be that, oh, we just want to be extravagant worshipers to the Lord, just uninhibited, real, sincere, that we would worship him in spirit and in truth. But the reality is there's some of you that maybe you're in a season where you're having a hard time worshiping. You see others entering in and you are just inhibited. There's just a block and you're struggling for whatever reason. Sometimes there's a reason because there's something that's going on in our lives, and sometimes we've just never really let go, okay? We've never really been free to just worship the Lord. And that the Lord wants that for us, that we would worship him joyfully, fully, and sincerely. So if you are either struggling or you just want to just be completely just touched and free to worship the Lord extravagantly and not be worried about those around you and or what he calls you to, it might be here, it might be back at home, it might be, you know, it's not only worship in music. He might call you to something else that's a step of faith, an extravagant display of your commitment to the Lord and your walk with him. So if that's you, stand to your feet. If you just want to be touched in that way. I know I want to be touched in that way. I want to be an extravagant lover of Jesus. Yvonne, actually, why don't you come up and pray for... I think we all need to be prayed for that. I tell you, I cannot wait for heaven. I mean, I always say that, but I cannot wait to really get to dance and just shout and jump up and down for joy. Amen, you know? So I just look forward to that day. So will you pray for us, Yvonne?
This is one of those prayers I know the Lord is going to answer because it's... Like she said, it's his will. We are praying in agreement. We're all going to agree, right, that the Lord is going to pour out his spirit on us and set us free to be free and worship with him. So we're not asking something outside of what he would want for us. So let's pray. Lord, we do come before you. And Lord, we thank you for your word that is freeing to us, Lord. And I loved how Holly shared these women with us. And the no-namers are so important to you, Lord. And this one woman who displayed the humble and contrite heart that is so pleasing to you, Lord. The word says that you draw near to the woman, those who have a humble and contrite heart, Lord. And so we ask for you to increase that in us, Lord, that we would decrease within ourselves, Lord, just abandoning pride and pleasing the eyes of men and worry about what others think and self-evaluation to the point that is paralyzing, Lord, all these things of the flesh that can hinder a sweet and pure worship before you, Lord. Lord, we confess that often the hindrance to that type of worship is self. And I just know I'm full of myself all the time, Lord, and I am distracted, and I am worried about the to-do list, and I am just have so many things set before my time before you, Lord. And in some ways, that's an idol, Lord. So for myself and for anyone else here who's struggles with that, Lord, we confess and we just ask forgiveness for putting anything between me and thee that would hinder that sweet, pure worship that could be so distracting, Lord. And we ask, God, that by your Holy Spirit, you would enable us to just sit freely before you, Lord, that we would bring our thoughts captive, that we would not worry about the to-dos, we would get rid of our Martha syndromes, Lord, and we would take on Mary's position physically, Lord. I confess I've struggled with that as a young Christian, being on my knees sometimes before you. If that's you, confess that to the Lord. I confess that at times, just to lay flat on my face, I don't do that because I think, oh, he doesn't really mean that. But Lord, what a humble position that is. Lord, help us to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit when you ask us to bow our knee, bow low, and just let you fill us and remove all the distractions, God. Lord, we want our worship to be not obligation, not a work, not something to be done for others, Lord, but to just be a response of our great love for you, Lord. We want to just worship you, to say thank you for your first love for us, God. And Lord, I just pray as this weekend unfolds and even as we leave, that that is a gift and a something that you will increase in us and develop in us, Lord. And we need to be committed to it, Lord. And when we stumble and fall, then we're going to confess it and get right back up. But we look forward to the joy of your Holy Spirit working in and through our lives, Lord. And, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith. Lord, so we're coming before you. We're asking in the name of Jesus. There's two or more gathered here. We're asking in faith for you to increase within us a heart and a mind, a will, and even our physical body to sit before you in sweet worship, Lord, to bless you, to minister to you, and that it's extravagant and that it's rooted and grounded in love. And that it's pleasing, a sweet fragrance unto you. And we all agree by saying, Amen.
Now, you all do have your testimony, your God story. So maybe tonight at the dinner table, the person, it's hard, really hard to hear in there, so can't share it to the whole table. But maybe it'll be the person sitting next to you, or sometime tonight or tomorrow or when you go back home. But I think that's a strong word. I think that we need to all be willing to share our testimony and be used to then minister to someone else. So I encourage you, if you've never done that, that you would take that challenge. So,
and a word to go with that, will you receive another woman's testimony in grace and love, mercy, not in criticism or judgment? That's so important, that we're to love and forgive and receive as we've been loved and given to and received. Amen.